Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to episode 53 of Geek Grills, a podcast in which geeky women and sometimes guests gather to record topical conversation and then offer it to the masses. The Geek Grills podcast is supported solely by our patrons. You can become a patron today at www.patreon.com/grills. I'm the Jen and I'm here today with my co-host September, also known as 9 of 12.
Hi.
Hi. Also known as Ember. Also known as eight other names. I mean.
Oh. 9 of 12 is the ninth month out of 12. Is September. Ember's just for short. It's not that many names.
I know. I have a lot of names for you. Oh, gosh. Okay. Today we have an awesome guest. I was once a banana slug with this guy, and I can certainly vouch for his geek cred. Absolutely. We have Ken Breeze of Burling's Beard.
Hey, what's up, Geek Girls? Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
You are welcome. We are excited to have you. And I know you're a big old nerd, so I can't wait to talk more about all the fun things you've been doing.
The nerd is strong with me. Yes. Yes.
Indeed. All right, crazy nerds. What have you guys been up to? Ember, how about you?
Well, so I helped a nomad repair and adorn some clothing. I have a friend I've known for, holy cow, 20, 30 years, I don't know, that found me on Facebook. She's like, hey, I got a friend who's, like, stranded in, he's in Statesville, and that's where you are, right? I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, you need some help with sewing. I go, okay. So I went and picked up this hippie guy and got in the sewing machine and was, like, patching his Carhartt, and then he was talking about local SCA stuff, and he had this cool drapery fabric he wanted added to some culottes he wears, and so, yeah, that was really neat. He had a little money, and he wanted to barter some, you know, work or rocks or something, but I'm like, you know what, dude? I'm traveling this coming week. I am going to Nerdtacular. I'm going far away by myself, and so karma is the best barter. I spent about 4 hours helping him fix all his traveling clothes, and because he lives, like, nomadically, going from place to place, planting things. So, yeah, I did
That's
that.
Awesome.
That
was cool. That's super sweet.
and also I was like, you know what, also you got me back into using the machine, because, like, sometimes I just walk by the sewing machine for way too long without doing anything. And I really want to make some pouches, dice pouches, to Nerdtacular. Yeah. I've got, like, 3 or 4 that I haven't sold. Ones I had made for the Comic-Con last year. So I'm going to definitely bring those, but I do want to make some more. I've got that fabulous Wonder Woman fabric. So yeah, I want to bring some. and I mean, you know me, I'll probably just, like, meet new friends and go, here, this is for you, you know, give them all away when I'm tipsy or something. But I heard there might be some kind of collaborative Frog Pants or Tadpool table, and if that's a thing, it would be nice to sell some. So what else? Yeah, that's it. Oh, I made a bracelet.
I love them there. I'm sure they'll love them.
Yeah, I made a bracelet yesterday. It matches my Harley Quinn stuff. Because, like, I got my Harley Quinn kicks, and I'll just wear them with a dress. And then, like, it's not really cosplay, it's just nerdy stuff to wear. And then I was like, I'm going to make a bracelet. And I put a picture on Facebook and stuff, Jen. I don't know if you saw it, but I'm really, really
and
happy
I have,
with the result.
And it made me think about a thing that I almost forgot to bring. I have a Harley Quinn mini poster for you that is really cool. It's little, but you're going to love it. It's awesome.
Oh, that's so great. Oh, yeah, speaking of posters and stuff, I got my prizes yesterday from TMS. And I got a little tear in the corner when I was opening the package of the Stranger Things print, which is my favorite thing in the prizes. My kids took the hat and the other stuff. I have a Man-at-Arms action figure that I don't know what I'm going to...
That's awesome.
I don't know what I'm going to do with that, but That was in there. And then Brian Ibbett put in a Coverville like postcard. And it's got a picture of Bowie in there in the collage, which is cool. And he also sent a bumper sticker. It's like an eye instead of Love Coverville. It's got an ear.
Oh, that's awesome.
So this morning I did my thing and I got out my old door campaign door magnets from when I ran for county commissioner and put it on there and cut it out and made it into a magnet. And now it's on the Geek Mom Mobile.
Hooray. Adding to the Geek Mobile. Yeah. What did I, I won a season of Breaking Bad on DVD when I called the TMS, the morning stream. For those that don't know, it's a fun show. You should listen to it. Scott Johnson, Brian Ibbett. They do it almost every day. It's 5 episodes a week, but they do it Monday through Thursday. And then they do a PM on Thursday, and it's just a great show. They're fantastic.
Yeah, and the contests are now only twice a week, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Instead of every day. Did you hear the episode where I lost and then I won?
Part of it, but I didn't get to the winning or losing yet. Spoilers!
But it was the best nerd thing, and, you know, tough if you hadn't listened to it yet, man. It was days ago. But
I know, I'm like behind on everything.
It was about Pro Tools and how many crossfades you could have because somebody had run into an error. And since then, they've lifted the limit, but what was the limit? And Daryl said 64K. And then I said under because I thought it would be a more round number. And then Scott's like, oh, you lose, and hung up on me, as he does. And then somebody in chat room said, hey, so, because the actual answer was like, 5330 36 or whatever, but it is actually the number because, like, you know how a K isn't actually 1,000.
Oh, right.
Right. What Daryl had guessed was actually the exact number that, like, Iceworm's answer was actually 64K, even though it was a higher number. And so they decided, after having kicked me off, like, I think we're just going to send her the prizes. I'm like, yes, because I win.
That's hilarious. That's really funny. That's Daryl and that show. Anyway, listen to the morning stream if you don't. It's good. It's good times. All right, Ken, what have you been up to? What's in going on in your geeky universe?
Oh, my God. So much. Last weekend was Free RPG Day. I don't know if you guys are doing any events for that. I was part of a great event going on at my friendly local game store, the 20-Sided Store in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And I was running back-to-back-to-back-to-back games, Fantasy Flight Star Wars and a D&D module that I wrote called The Mystery of the Eureka Theater. It's actually on sale at the DM's Guild. It's for $1. So definitely pick that up if you want to have a fun little adventure in your pocket. And then just about 2 days ago, I completed my fifth sort of course teaching kids how to play D&D, which has been really rewarding and just really interesting.
It's like one of my favorite things. Oh, it kills me. I went to my local game store last week to go to pick something up on an off day. And I'm sitting there, and at one table, there's one of the guys that works at the store, like, teaching these kids how to play magic with, like, just the basic decks. And they look like they were, like, each, like, 7 or 8. And then at another table, there was, like, another guy who works at the game store who was, like, showing another one, like, some of the different, like, War Machine models. And, like, they were, like, playing, like, a little quick match. And I was like, I love this! I have, like, my nerdy emotional moment. That's amazing.
Growing the hobby is a real thing that exists. And also, I mean, D&D and role-playing games in general, as I'm sure you're both aware, can teach people so much, especially children. So it's just been really interesting and rewarding to sort of be doing that. I've had two different classes, kids who are like from 5 to 12, and then another class of teenagers, like 13-year-olds to 16-year-olds. So that's been really awesome. It's just been a super rewarding thing, and I've learned a lot about how to conduct sort of public play a little bit better, but really how to have kids be engaged and have a great time and leave the table taking something away from the experience. Speaking of fun experiences, I'm also doing my storytelling podcast. It's called Board Ghost. It comes out every Wednesday. It's a lot of fun. We use diceless, DM-less role-playing games as a scaffolding for collaborative storytelling. So it's a storytelling podcast for people who are into world building or into storytelling. We tend to try and focus our efforts on theater folks, gaming folks, storytelling folks. I mean, just people who are interested in being very creative in that way. So that's a lot of fun. That we're recording basically every week, and then we're basically releasing one a week as well, which is great. And so I got so into podcasting that I've started my own sort of Twitch stream now. I think you're doing that too, Jen. It's a lot of fun, and I'm doing D&D every week now on Twitch on Wednesday night, actually. So the podcast comes out Wednesday. My show is on Wednesday nights, East Coast time, usually around 10 p.m. And we're just getting into a mini campaign called The Secrets of Hammerfast. So I'm excited to be doing that. So yeah, as you can tell, it's going to be a pretty busy summer for me in terms of the nerd realms, along on of my with my personal, you know, private games. So yeah, lots of fun to be had. Lots going on. But yeah, check out my website. Yeah, strap in.
Yeah, it's nerd summer is coming. No, it's been, I'm looking at the same thing because Free RPG Day, sadly, I couldn't participate in. I wanted to because there was this little RPG booklet that got sent by some little independent woman, female focused, I don't want to say woman focused, that's not what I'm trying to say. It was female focused RPG. So the idea was to try to help kind of create, it's the games are and the stories are designed to help women feel engaged in their in role-playing, in tabletop role-playing games, and not feel left out and whatever, because that happens sometimes a little bit at tables if there's not a lot of men that are aware that if you're not a strong female presence, sometimes you kind of just get skirted off to the side and it can be really boring. And I really wanted to go and check this out because it was basically like a one-shot tool that this woman, she thinks she's from Phoenix, that she created to try to help like women basically practice doing tabletop RPG in a way to help foster them to be more engaged at the table. And that was kind of interesting. I wanted to check it out, but I didn't get to go because I sadly work on Saturdays now, but that is okay. Hopefully next year I won't be working on Saturdays and I'll be able to go because my game store that I've been hanging out with, I really like it a lot. So yeah, Heroes of Storm, as usual, I've done my placement. It is a new season, and I qualified for, I got placed in Bronze 5. The absolute lowest as possible, which makes pretty much no sense, because I climbed to Bronze 1 last time, and yet my MMR is so bad from the beginning of my Heroes time that I, again, am Bronze 5. So, the climb is real. I'm going to have to climb from the very bottom again. I'm literally playing with people that start the game with, I don't plan on playing, just so you know. And then they walk around the tower so that they stay from going AFK. And they say things like, maybe if we had a real comp, I'd play. But otherwise, I'm just going to sit here and watch you guys. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. I just want to play actual games. So I'm hoping maybe it's early in the season. Maybe eventually people will start chilling out, but I did find out I absolutely cannot play Hero League on the weekend. Apparently, Hero League on the weekend is nothing but a toxic garbage. But on a more positive note, I started playing my Arcanist in the Pathfinder game on Fridays. So the new, our new DM finally made it into town, and because it got delayed like 3 weeks, and so Friday was our first session. And I'm playing basically a blaster caster. She's awesome. I decided to just play human and just playing the smarty pants, just caster. An Arcanist is a wizard sorcerer hybrid with some really cool features. So I get to do some cool things. And we're mythic, so it's a mythic campaign. And mythic allows you to do some really crazy stuff. So I'm pretty excited because I'm going to have the mythic path Archmage, which is pretty much the strongest of the mythic paths. And I get really crazy abilities. Like I have an ability to like spend a mythic point and I can cast any spell. I don't even have to know it. I just have to roll well and I can cast it. And that's crazy. Like, that's just crazy. I shouldn't be able to do that at all, but I can do that like 5 times a day. Like, that's crazy. But so that should be really fun. I'm excited to see where that campaign goes. He's really high energy. I was nervous because I didn't know him. Other people said he was cool, but I didn't know him. And he's really high energy, really engaged. He's really hardcore about if you're going to say something out of character, there's like a code word that you start with, you talk out of character, and then you use the code word again so everybody knows you're going back into role play. I like that because it discourages table talk and makes it a lot more fun and engaging to play our characters. So I'm really excited about this campaign and what crazy stuff we're going to do now. It seems like it's kind of nuts. Anyway, I do think that means it is time for the Geek Grapevine.
Yay!
Yes.
That's going to be tricky.
Oh my gosh. All right.
That's
so
supposed to take a breath so I could put the bumper in, Ken.
I think Ken is the new bumper. I think we should just use him as a bumper.
Just leave it.
Oh my gosh. All right. Ember, you've got you threw this Podomatic post in here. What's going on?
Okay. So, yeah, there's all kinds of posts cuz there's Pokemon went nuts. All the changes happened finally and it's super great. I ran out and I have done some of these new gym battles. I'm super excited about how... Oh, wait, the Podomatic. I did the wrong thing. Sorry. I just wanted to share that.
Oh, you just want to share it. You don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, no, I went back to... Yeah. No, the Podomatic is DJ Spider. I've told you about her before. She's another person who does a lot of local cosplay, who helped me when I did that cosplay commission with great advice. But she also has a podcast, and she doesn't post very often. But I really wanted to share this with all our fellow geeks, and it might be a good driving list for people going to Nerdtacular, but it's Nerdvana 5. This is the fifth list she's done, but they're all nerdy tributes, all geeky songs, like, you know, there's the Stranger Things intro, but then there's really funny stuff that's like remakes of popular songs, but it's all replaced with nerd lyrics.
I out of this list, one of the ones that of her songs that I enjoyed was the one, The Red Wedding, which if you're a Game of Thrones fan, very good.
The Pokemon also, Party Rock is a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's a lot of nerd music. The Deadpool rap is good too, by the way.
Yeah, I thought that was a really, really great. Well, and using that ending was really neat. Great. So.
Yeah, you know, it's a great collection. If you want to just nerd out to some crazy music, I also second that suggestion.
Yeah, so put the link in there. She's a fantastic DJ and a fantastic person.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so what... So so what about this letter to Austin's mayor?
Oh, my God. Did you read that?
I couldn't get past the headline. I'm like, what is happening?
It is so great, though. Everyone, I mean... So this guy, you know we had guys who were like... And I don't know why this story only came up recently for me... We know the guys who were like freaking out about having women's only screenings. This
right,
guy actually
yeah.
went as far, and he at least apparently used spell checker because there's no way he's that good at grammar when he's this ignorant. But he wrote to Austin's mayor to complain about it. And, you know, just. Okay, so. The notion of a woman hero is a fine example of women's eagerness to accept the appearance of achievement without actual achievement. And, like, what have women ever invented? You can't name anything. And just...
Oh, my gosh.
Like, women proudly accept gold medals at the Olympics for coming in 10th.
Wow.
Achievements by the second-rate gender pale in comparison to virtually everything great in human history that is accomplished by men, not women, right?
Is there a part of me that just hopes that this guy just literally doesn't believe this and just wanted to troll the mayor? Like,
well,
I really hope that that is what this is, because otherwise, like, I don't know, Madame Curie might have something to say about women not having any achievements. I mean, just for one that I could think of right now.
Right. So you don't mind me taking the time. I do want to read
the mayor's response, because it is epic. Mayor Steve Adler, he's like, he could be mayor forever down there, and everyone should be thankful, because he is clever, and he just trolls the hell out of this guy. He's like, I am writing to alert you that your email account has been hacked by an unfortunate and unusually hostile individual. Please remedy your account's security right away, lest this person's uninformed and sexist rantings give you a bad name. After all, we men have to look out for each other. Can you imagine if someone thought that you didn't know women could serve in our combat units now without exclusion? What if someone thought that you didn't know that women invented medical syringes, life rafts, fire escapes, central and solar heating, a wartime communication system for radio controlling torpedoes that laid the technological foundations for everything from Wi-Fi to GPS, and beer? And I hesitate to imagine how embarrassed you'd be if someone thought you were upset that a private business was realizing a business opportunity by reserving one screening this weekend for women to see a superhero movie. You and I are serious men of substance, with little time for the delicate sensitivities displayed by the pitiful creature who maligned your good name and sterling character by writing that abysmal email. I trust the news that your email account has been hacked does not cause you undue alarm, and wish you well in securing your account. And in the future, should your travels take you to Austin, please know that everyone is welcome here, even people like those who wrote that email, whose views are an embarrassment to modernity, decency, and common sense.
Well done. Well done, Mayor Adler. Like, boom. That's fantastic. I love it. That makes me feel better, because when you started that, I had the same rage I had with that Overwatch situation. Oh, God, it makes me mad. Good job, Mayor Adler.
Austin's mayor is so happy. Cool.
That's awesome. That's like the best response you could give to, because it was educational and also makes him feel like a big dummy face, which makes me happy, because that is not okay. So apparently Sci-Fi is going to make a TV adaptation of George R.R. Martin's Night Flyers, and I haven't read it, but it's like a supernatural space thriller, and I've had a bunch of friends tell me I should read it, so now I guess I'm going to have to, so that I can read it before this becomes a thing. So I know that he's under exclusive he's on his exclusive contract with HBO, so I know they can't set the dates or actually even start working on it until after Game of Thrones wraps, but it'll be interesting to have Sci-Fi take on another George R.R. Martin project. So I'm interested to see where that goes and to see as that develops. So just some early news about that. Also, if you don't know what to spend your money on, you know, because so many of us nerds don't have enough things to spend our money on, Steam Summer Sale is up. I literally opened my email and it said 45 items on your wish list are on sale. I was like, no. Me and the IT guy at work were laughing about, like, we were comparing how many things on our list that we were going to be spending our money on. No, there are actually some really good deals. I'm going to link a couple articles to some of the better deals. I know if I could make any recommendations, play Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor. It's on sale. It's like 80% off, and it's actually really fun.
Great game. Great game. I 100%ed that game. It's like so good. It's
so good. So 80% off. Come on. No, I'm with you. I loved it. And so that's probably if I could pick like what I think the best deal out there is, that's probably the one I'd recommend for sure. And the kitten might recommend too. I don't know if you could hear that.
Yes, but it was adorable.
But yeah, you know, it's a really good game. And I think some of the other recommendations I saw were that the Guardians of the Galaxy Telltale series is on sale. Those are always pretty fun. BioShock Infinite, those are pretty fun. And the collection is actually on sale, so that's another good one too. So check it out. Go pay a dollar for games and then, you know, get some good sales on the other games that are out there too. So we have a guest today. I am going to clarify what a banana slug is, because everybody's like, what, banana slug? Or at least Ember did. So back in my old college days, I worked at the library in the Film and Music Center, and I used to check out films to people who need to watch films to, like, sit at a little station and watch films for their various classes, mostly film classes, usually. I guess music classes, too, because we had the music, we had the CDs in there, too. And this guy was a couple years ahead of me, and I worked with him a bunch in Ye Olde Film and Music Center at UC Santa Cruz, where we were Banana Slugs.
We were.
Because that is our mascot, and it's the coolest mascot.
Oddly, Jen, when you think about it, you and I are old college buddies.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. Which is an interesting thought to have, you know? Because as you think about what that sort of phrase evokes in one's mind, I'm not sure it's exactly our relationship, but I think that our relationship should be the new model for the 21st century in terms of the first thing you think of when you hear the phrase old college buddies. Because it's pretty fucking cool.
That we can interact on Twitter and on the emails and on the internet and now be talking in voice with one another.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. And, I mean, just seeing what one creates, you know, as their life goes forward and just those amazing things that we're apparently both super into, which is not a surprise at all in any way, shape, or form to me. So.
It's really funny because that's true, because back when I was in college, I had never yet LARPed. I had only done Tabletop of White Wolf, but I basically avoided all of that while I was in college proper because, like, nobody, I don't know, people, college is weird for that.
You know, I LARPed while at UCSC.
Yeah.
Right? Did you not know that?
So, and then there was this, If I could ever recall one of my favorite adventures with Ken, there were adventures with Ken in Santa Cruz while I was still going to school there. Many an adventure. But perhaps my favorite adventure was when Ken was leaving the great state of California to relocate to New York, where we could not physically leave the state of California. The car said no.
We're thwarted. Fateful decisions were made that day, my friend.
That's true. 30 minutes away from the border of California, the car is basically like, nope, I'm dying now. And we literally did not make it out of California, but by plane several days later. And it was quite an adventure. But yeah, so Ken is a super nerd. I and good people who I've known for quite some time now. So I know you hinted at some of your projects. I know you're doing you have your storytelling podcast, which is Bored Ghost. Which I know, you can get that at boardghost.com, right, I believe, is the
best way. Yeah, exactly. Boardghost.com is definitely the website. I mean, it's on everywhere. I mean, it's on the iTunes. I think it's on...
the places where podcasts are found.
Yeah, all the good podcast places. I partnered with this guy, John, who is amazing. He and I record... I mean, the thing of it was that we realized there were games we weren't being able to play in our normal lives. And so we were like, let's just start doing this podcast where we get to play these games that we might normally not get to with our private groups or in our, you know, whatever situation. And so we're like, okay, sweet. And then we realized, like, this is really awesome. And storytelling games are our focus. And so we really just went full bore into that. We were at Gen Con last year, which was a lot of fun, and made some connections with some other podcasters there. And, you know, the podcasting community is obviously exploding and changing. It's so interesting for me to see how role-playing games are now becoming so large in some ways, which is really great. And so for us, we're, you know, trying to service or provide stories for those role players who maybe aren't playing D&D as much or whatever anymore, and they're more into these very heady, ephemeral, but really sort of deep storytelling experiences. And so that's why we named the podcast Bored Ghost. The idea is that, think about it right now, we are literally transmitting ourselves through some sort of digital ether. We're not together. We're just spirits in a digital world, you know? And are we bored spirits? We hope to bring those bored spirits to our podcast and listen to our stories and be entertained. And that's sort of the whole deal with Bored Ghost. It's a lot of fun.
I think it's amazing. I listened to you guys talking about Fiasco, which is incredible, by the way. Is it Fiasco is the name of the game, right?
Fiasco is the name of the game. It was written by Jason Morningstar a number of years ago.
Amazing.
The premise is that it's like a Coen Brothers movie come to sort of life, where
exactly
connections between characters, and they all have these weird needs and wants they have to fulfill, and it's like sort of like a seat of telephone where the two people that you're sitting to your left and your right are the only people at the table that you have connections to at the beginning of the game. And so you sort of set up scenes as you go along, and the people who aren't in the scenes vote basically on whether your character is getting what you want out of that scene, whether it goes good or bad for you. But there's only a limited amount of times it could go good or bad, so the more things go good at the front, the worse they go at the end, that sort of thing. So it's the game itself is the scaffolding for the storytelling, and it helps set scenes, set sort of moments of high drama, as the case may be, and it's just the rhythm of the story that you get into with people. Yeah, Fiasco is a fantastic game. Everyone should
really
play.
Excited. I'm gonna be rocking that out at my game store. So I listened to this a couple days ago because maybe it was like literally like 2 days ago. I listened to it and I mentioned it to some of the people that I play with at the Pathfinder game. We've been looking for something to do on a random, like a couple weeks from now, Sunday afternoon, and I'm like, oh, this is probably it. This is fun. So I'm gonna be checking it out.
That's what's great. It's by Bully Pulpit Games. They produced it, it's for sale everywhere now, and it's digital too. We had a great guest on the podcast who is a game designer and actually a developer as well, and created a Fiasco mobile app. So you can download that mobile app, and it has all or many play sets in it. So if you have the rules, you can have this just plethora of sort of, you know, playgrounds to play in, whether it's like a D&D focus or a space focus or even something as mundane as just like we're, you know, Hollywood sort of, you know, bums or whatever it is. Whatever genre you're trying to do can really be supported by the game.
That's incredible. I love games like that where you have that. I like when I have lots of choices and lots of room to play around. And like you said, like build a world or like, you know, hey, it's a thing. You're in it. You go and you do what you want with it. I like freedom, I guess, sometimes in my role-playing games. Because like when I play Pathfinder, it's very, or D&D, it's very regimented. It's like, okay, we're here. We're doing this thing. And there's going to be elves and dragons and bad people. And I just sometimes like to just explore different worlds and different...
It's interesting. We play bad people. We often play bad people. It's hard not to sometimes. We try and play good people, but in these games, it's interesting to explore just how shitty people can be in some ways.
See, but that's why I played Vampire for so long.
Interesting thing. Because, there's a lot of different ways to do it. And, storytelling is great. So, any way you do it. I mean, I feel like there are some great games out there that support storytelling. Like Fantasy Flight Star Wars is one. I really enjoy that system because it's more based on sort of success and failure and that being on a spectrum. I also really love D&D itself actually can be a really great storytelling game. I think depending on sort of what rule sets you're using and what's going on. There are definitely some games though that lend themselves to it more.
So speaking of the modernness of just how we're able to interconnect with people at this point, so Ember and I play in a D&D game, which we'll play later today, and our DM is Ember's husband, and then we have a player who's currently in Georgia. I'm in Arizona. We have someone who's in Ireland, and then I don't remember where's Drax, and I don't remember where Drax is.
I don't know where Drax is. Bob's in Ireland. Bizzle's gone back to England now.
Oh, that's right. So he's back in England. All right. So there you go. So we're playing a D&D game where people are literally not even on the same continents, and it's incredible. It's fun to be able to have a game like that, and there's just tools for that now. And Nine, you've been on one time D&D-er.
Yeah, I love playing on Twitch. I've been doing that now for a little while. And I've also been playing online with friends privately, one of which who lives in Japan. I'm in New York. There's some on the West Coast as well. I mean, I think in this day and age, our friends and the people we love are so spread out. The people we've chosen to be part of our families are so spread out. So it's nice to stay in touch, and it's nice to be able to game with them as well. And being able to do it online is such an amazing blessing. And for me, I've really now sort of converted that into streaming on Twitch, streaming games with people online, and having this D&D experience that I love and that I, you know, want to cultivate out to the public, and really having people see what's going on and see what's going on at these tables. I think a lot of people learn by watching, and so teaching humans, you know, how to be conscientious and awesome role players is definitely something I think about. Not necessarily like I'm trying to like preach or something like that, but more that actions speak louder than words, and I try to put the example out there that I would love for people to emulate or follow, because the people who have inspired me to emulate them, and you know, so everything I'm doing in so many ways comes from those who have taught me, and I really love that about D&D, that we teach each other things with role-playing games. So yeah, it's fun, it's great.
You know what's funny is I think it humors me, it tickles me, I'm going to use that phrase, it tickles me that here we are this many years later, us being old college buddies, and it doesn't surprise me that we have very similar feelings about, and even the way you phrase it, the people that we choose as our family is very much how I describe my friendships with people and my very serious friendships. And it is true. They are in different worlds, but I just think it's funny that here we are this many years later and totally have very similar opinions. And that just reinforces why we were like drawn to being buddies back then. We have similar stuff. I love it.
Appreciate both you and Ember allowing me to be on your podcast. Honestly, I don't take that lightly. It's really cool. I really appreciate it. And you guys are doing amazing things, and I wish you guys the best. Like, this is, just being on here is fucking awesome. Thanks for that.
No, it's an important project for us, you know, and I think, oh God, I got really emotional after our 50th episode. I got so emotional about our project. I think Ember and I were like, this is amazing. I can't believe we get to do this like we get to do this every week and people listen and we get feedback and it's really amazing and it just feels really good to just engage with people in a different way. So D&D, D&D is something you've done for a long time, Ember. I know that you wanted to pick his brain a little bit and see what aspects of it he likes.
Well, I didn't actually, it's funny, I didn't play a lot of D&D until recently. Like, I think, you know, throughout, like, my neighbor got the first, you know, little paper books that came in a plastic bag and we colored in the dice with crayons, you know, and then he couldn't figure out how to do it, so I kind of like figured it out and showed them how to do it, but then we never played. And then I think once in my adult life we played D&D. I played a lot of other games. I played Top Secret and V&V and Sorcery and Chivalry and Sorcery and like all the other games. But I was wondering what your favorite, like, world is. Because I did end up reading a lot of D&D fiction. Like, I fell in love with Kryn, right? I collected Dragonlance novels for years and years.
Ember, it's so funny, your experiences that you're relating to me. I really identify with them. D&D has been around for so long now, you guys. It's like over 40 years, right? It's like, it's amazing to me that this game is bringing generations together, when I feel like so many things bring generations apart, unfortunately, in our world. And this game, I see people who are 50 years old, 40 years old, 30 years old, 20 years old, you know, 10 years old playing this game at the same table. And so what you're talking about, this sort of very young experience, I'd really identify with having that young sort of experience with it and then not sort of having it happen again for a while. And for me, I read Dragonlance, dude. Like, that, what Kryn was my introduction for sure. And oddly enough, my introduction was Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman's other books that they did after Dragonlance, which were called The Deathgate Cycle, which were set in a really interesting world that has actually really inspired me and just my concept of fantasy, where the world was sundered apart and split into different elements, and those elements were turned into worlds. And anyways, so once I read that book, I was like, okay, what else are these guys doing? And I found Dragonlance. And from there, obviously, I started to get into Forgotten Realms, I really loved. And then, I mean, once Eberron came out, I really loved Eberron. I read a lot of those books as well. And that was so interesting that for the Eberron books to come out right during third edition. And it was very cool, even at that time, to see Wizards of the Coast reaching out to the community and being like, hey, you know, what do you guys want to see? Or what are your best ideas? Give us a shot. And then we flash forward to fifth edition, where it's a literal public playtest that they're running, literally asking fans to write in how they want to see this game played, how they want to see this game perceived and created. It's amazing to me. And it, to me, it goes right back to this central sort of axis of community and interaction and how our communities interact. We are in interactive communities. We are humans. And this is a huge part of being a human, is interacting with a community that supports you and loves you and accepts you. And I think for a lot of people, that's what role-playing games and the role-playing game community can be, because let's not, you know, be cavalier here. It wasn't always awesome to be a nerd, you know, and I think it's become awesomer. It was become a lot awesomer, you know, as time is going on. And I think people have really gravitated towards, you know, but I think it also goes along with being a young person. Being a young person is very difficult. And I think being a nerdy young person can also be difficult. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of people are nerdy and they don't maybe realize it, or they're not comfortable with it, but they are. I think about this a lot. Like my mother, I'm very close with her, and I'm like, hey mom, there are a lot more females playing video games now. I don't think you get it. And she's like, no, there aren't. And I look at her and I'm all like, you're literally playing a video game on your phone right now. You are a video game player. You are female. You are playing video games. Like, I think there's this sort of misconception about the communities in many ways and how equal they are and how interested people are. I think you guys are 100% right that the community hasn't been served as well it could have been, you know, 100% all across the board. And I think that's definitely something to work on and figure out, because we need everyone to be together in this community, collaborating and supporting each other. And so,
I just think the one of our big premises, and something that Ember and I really came together on, and that's part of the reason that this podcast even exists, is because is the premise that you can be a geek about anything. You can be a music geek. You can be a car geek. You can be a whatever. I'm sorry, but I've watched men sit in a room and do football fantasy draft at places that I've worked in where they're staying late because they need to all work together and make sure that they draft the right fantasy football team. That is a nerd hobby. It is so extreme.
I love football. I'm a big NFL fan. I love the Philadelphia Eagles. I ran the football pool at my job. I really enjoyed it. Fantasy is role-playing. It literally is role-playing. Fantasy football is role-playing. You are literally choosing other people, and what's happening that they're doing affects what I mean. It's, you just don't get to roll dice. It's the same thing. The numbers are still random. You're just not generating them yourself. You're having someone else generate them for you. So, you know,
you're analyzing stats. Yeah, I mean, come on.
As interesting or not as you want it. It's interesting to me, though, that fantasy is at heart a competitive collaboration or a competitive, enterprise. And for me, I'm much more focused on collaboration, not competition. And so that's why I really gravitate towards hobbies and games that where we're working together to achieve something. I really love games like Pandemic Legacy, where you're playing against a board game, where you're playing against the game itself. Everyone's working together. There's, you know, different games out there that are really awesome for that. And
My favorite is the Battlestar Galactica board game. Now, granted, there is the aspect of the fact that
traitor.
Somebody
there's
is
a traitor aspect. Yeah, there's the but that's okay.
But aside from that, and if you have good friends, a lot of times it's just funny because they're like desperately trying to help the game beat you. I actually like that dynamic, but for the most part, you are working together and it is fun. And I love that board game for that reason. It's just, we're in this shitty situation where there's always going to be more ships than us and it's rough, but we're going to forge through it together. So I'm with you. I love competitive, or like the collaborative board games or the cooperative board games where you're trying to, like you said, beat the game. Those are so much more fun for me.
Yeah, totally. That's lots going on. I'm doing as much as I can, right? I'm not so much a blogger, but I love media. Twitch is great. I have YouTube going. The podcast is going. And I love doing events. So I you know, run a small freelance Dungeon Master events company. So we partner with stores. We do private events. It's a lot of fun. So that's a great way to sort of engage.
That's really awesome.
So, yeah, yeah.
I love to hear about the... So what you've been doing for, like, with kids, I think, is amazing. And I'm glad you brought up, like, how hard it is to be a young person. I'm currently finishing my master's right now in education, specifically secondary education. So much of my coursework at this point has been in adolescence developmental psychology. And it's really interesting how much of that, like, I could go on for an hour about how much of that is part of the development and as we're using language differently and how we rely on interpersonal relationships that aren't our parents at that point, and all of that weighs right into having hobbies, and then the fact that we're not actually done developing until we're 26 years old. Like, that's fascinating to me that we as humans are still developing, and some of us are still developing even later. No, that's more of just a joke about about some of the people that I have interacted with. Well, but
hopefully we're always learning, right? Hopefully we're always learning. And
that's right.
Forward. So yeah,
I agree.
That's the hope.
Now, you mentioned that you run the football pool at work, which is a very normal thing. My work has a football pool. I'm always curious, how much do you share with, or how much do you worry about your real life, I don't know what else to call that, work people knowing about your nerd hobbies and your...
Sure.
And that stuff.
Sure. You know, it's interesting. Just my personal style is to keep a pretty fine line between my work and my personal life. That being said, my sort of brand, if you will, is personable professionalism. So I want to be myself. I'm not going to be someone else. I had an awakening, I think, maybe 5 or 6, 7 years ago now, where it was becoming less of a thing that I was worried about. I had been super, super what I like to call in the basement for a long, long time. When I was in school at university, definitely right after that in my young 20s and mid-20s, I would not reveal to people that this part of myself, or only reveal it after some time of knowing them or whatever. And it definitely was something that I wouldn't reveal to people at work or even people I was dating, you know, just stuff like that. And so, once I started to realize that there was a community around me and that was a supportive community, it became a lot easier for me to reveal myself and to sort of come out of the basement, as I sort of like to call it, and just fly it. Like, be all like, I'm super into role-playing games. I'm super into nerd life. This is who I am and what I'm about. And so as part of that, I do not hide this about me at work. I actually just started a new job recently. And it's one of the first things I tell people if they are actually trying to get to know me, like, what are you into? And I'm like, boom, this is what I'm into. So I tell them right away. So yeah, you know, it's something I'd rather own and be strong about than have it turned against me or something like that, if that makes any sense. So it's like I own who I am. I own what I'm about, and I own it so much that I make it my business. You know, I really do. It's a public, gaming is awesome, and it's something I really want to be a part of, and I am trying to be a part of. And so private gaming is the best because you can let your hair down and you don't have to worry about anything in a lot of ways. But public gaming, I think, is the way to go to show more and more people how great this hobby is and what it can achieve. So
I love that coming out of the basement phrasing. That is fantastic.
Thanks, Ember. I appreciate it.
It's so funny because I think, did we title that episode that, Ember?
Did we?
I think we might have. It was
I think we did the don't apologize for your nerditude.
Okay, yeah. A lot of that conversation was the fact that this is the first job I've ever had since being out of college. So my first real jobs, quote, where I have not hidden my nerd hobbies. And I've been open about whatever. If somebody's like, oh, you have, I like literally have like a Rocket and a Groot like on my desk and a little Murloc, and like, that's cool. Like, it's just who I am, you know? And it's been the first time where I've done that. When I worked in the mortgage industry, I never would have. I mean, I would have never heard the end of it. It was insane. I had a friend of mine that I met through LARP, actually. And I met him, became friends with him, and I was like, why don't you have a real job? And he's like, I can't really do anything. I was like, you could sell, you could talk on the phone, you could get a job at my work, and you would do well. Now we fast forward 6-7 years later. He is one of the top producers over there as a loan officer and does really amazing. It's been really great for him career-wise. Him and his fiance have since like bought a house, and it's just really awesome to see that like he is now, but all of that started with LARP, which is so funny. But when he got the job, I told him, I was like, you don't ever tell anyone how I met you. We met through friends, and that's that. You don't talk about the fact that we play board games on the weekends. You don't talk about any of that. Like, none of that comes up, period. Nobody knows that we LARP. And I was so just, I couldn't share it with anybody and just be myself. I always kept it very, very separate. And I think that I was really doing myself a disservice. I was doing my work a disservice because I wasn't being myself. And granted, you know, I'm not sitting there like regaling tales of my nerdy hobbies, but now I can just be myself more at work because I'm not feeling so ashamed about it. If somebody asks what I'm doing this weekend or whatnot, I don't have to come up with some so societally appropriate lie of what my weekend will entail. So, you know, I love that positivity around it. I think it's important that people embrace that. And that's been a big aspect to me. And I'm glad that you're seeing that as an opportunity to share with people, because there is so much to learn through role-playing games. And gosh, it's such good stuff. Good stuff. I love it. You're doing really cool stuff.
Thanks. Yeah,
I'm
you know,
so
it's,
glad.
It's about psychological safety, I think, in a lot of ways. And a lot of large concerns, companies, I mean, that they'll tell you the same. I was at a Google business development event earlier this year in February, and they were sort of talking, their HR department was talking about what makes their teams, most efficient teams, so efficient. And a big part of it is psychological safety. Being in a place, a workplace, where your ideas won't be shot down, and you as a person won't be shot down, and you can just have the freedom to create and to be yourself and to, you know, be really good at your job. And I don't know, I think that that's just good business practice to make sure your employees are happy and healthy and doing the best that they can be. So, you know, it's a tough world out there for sure. But yeah, I don't know. I think there are definitely strategies that companies employ that make their employees more productive. So anyways, it's definitely for me about collaboration and just the feeling comfortable in your community and owning your community and being receptive to the idea that you are not the only person in that community, because that's what that means. And you have to understand what the other
you're
people
not alone. Yeah. You're not all by your lonesome out in the world where my internet community is my internet. One of them is the Diamond Club. And the joke is that we are not a cult, but in some ways we do feel a little bit like a cult. But it's been an important aspect of my life, having support, and when crazy situations happen, having that support is really important and really incredible. By the way, if you would like to chime in on anything that we've talked about, we encourage you to do so. You can email us at geekgrills@gmail.com, or you can even give us a call, leave us a voicemail at 508-474-5577. We do love to hear from you. Also, I hope you're feeling like you're properly marinated, Ken, because I didn't exactly prepare you for this, but you're about to be grilled. Are you ready to be grilled?
I am salted. I am rubbed down. I am ready.
Okay.
All right. Get out the oil.
These are rapid fire questions. So first thing that comes to your mind, I'm going to shoot and here we go. Okay. We're going to start easy. What's your favorite color?
My favorite color is green.
All right. If you could meet anyone, living or dead, who would you want to meet?
Oh, fuck. That's not cool. Jesus.
All right. Cool. That actually is a pretty cool answer. If you could stay a certain age forever, what age would it be?
8.
If you were reincarnated as an animal, drink, or ice cream flavor, what would it be?
Probably Red-Tail Hawk.
Nice. What is the first thing you remember buying with your own money?
The first thing I bought with my own money? Shit, you guys, I'm blanking. So I'm just going to have to say the first CD I ever owned, which was The Spin Doctors.
Oh my gosh. No, it's funny. The first thing I bought with my own money was a CD, so yeah, it probably was
I
for
think
you
it
too.
It may have been that.
What did you want to be when you grew up when you were a kid?
An architect, but I don't know. Yeah, because I liked Legos.
Oh, so that's cool. Now, if you were to name the biographical film about your own life, what would that film be called?
It would be called Heartbreaker, colon, The Ken J. Breeze Story.
And who would write the soundtrack to that movie?
It would be a combination of the psychedelic space rock band Hawkwind and Curtis Mayfield.
We're going to end on that. That's fantastic. Also, your beer tastes haven't changed. Come on, man. It's you're locked in. I think that's funny that's the exact same. Some things never change, I guess, right?
That's right.
Well, thank you for surviving and coming into our lovely little podcast here. And now you can feel proud to know that you were grilled amongst the best of them. All right, grills and honorary grill friends, what are you most anticipating coming up in your little worlds? How about you, Ken?
PAX Unplugged is the convention of the year for me. I'm not going to Gen Con. I didn't go to Origins. I'm not going to Winter Fantasy. I'm not going to Dragon Con. I'm not going to PAX East. I am going to PAX Unplugged, which is going to be in Philadelphia in November. I'm really stoked about it. It's going to be all role-playing board and card game focused. It's totally no video games. And I'm really looking forward to see who's all going to be there and what that community is going to be like, because it's the first one that's happening. So I'm really,
that's amazing.
Really excited about it. Yeah, I'm hoping to maybe get a panel there. I have my fingers crossed that my panel will be accepted. So stay tuned for that. I might be doing something fun there about being
that's
a
amazing.
Professional dungeon master. Yeah, that could be fun. I'm also really, really excited about the new Darkest Dungeon DLC that just came out, Crimson Court. That's one of my favorite games I've been playing recently. I do some streaming of Darkest Dungeon, so look out for that on my Twitch channel and my YouTube. It's Crimson Court is like, I think about like vampires and shit, so that should be really cool. I'm excited for the return of Game of Thrones. Like, that's happening really soon, actually. Sooner than I realized. It's like, what, like 2 or 3 weeks away now? Like,
yes,
it's super,
it is in
super
fact.
Soon. When I'm like, oh yeah, this is a thing that does exist that I love, so I guess I will be doing this. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I will say some really great ads are going up in the subway right now. They're putting big plaster ones up on the subway, or rather posters. And what else? Oh yeah, Star Wars Rebels season 4 should be coming out this fall, which I'm really excited about. That show has turned out to be incredible. Star Wars Rebels season 1, 2, and 3 are better. Each is better than the last. It's a really great show. Spiritual successor to the Clone Wars cartoon, if you're into that at all. And it even has some crossover with Rogue One, which is cool. So I really like that idea that they're having their media properties really cross over a lot. So looking forward to that awesomeness coming back.
That reminds me, I'm going to go ahead and throw a link to the Game of Thrones Season 7 trailer. I'll throw it in the show notes because it was amazing. I don't normally watch trailers, but I couldn't help myself because we had to wait an extra few months. That was insane. Why do they do that to us? Ah! All right. Anyway, sorry, Amber, go ahead.
It is. I agree. So cruel. So Nerdtacular. Yep. Yep. Leaving in a couple days. Oh my God.
We're still excited about that.
Can't even. Well, I'm starting to like pack and struggle with what I actually want to pack. And I'm sure I want to pack. And do I want to do the costumes? And I don't know. I don't know what to do, so, except that I do want to go get ingredients and I'll bring us some jerky, girl.
Yes.
Some
I
World
love the
Warcraft jerky. Big nerd.
That's a really great recipe, and I love that there have been so many functional recipes that you've gotten out of that, the World of Warcraft cookbook. It's incredible.
Right? That's so great. And let me see, we have D&D tonight, Barney, our episode we had for the religion episode, or our guest we had for the religion episode, and Kit Nouveau, who came on about, I think it was our first LGBT awareness episode in games, They're both coming over, like, any minute. We're going to hang out for a while, maybe have some lunch,
And what else? Oh, and then I found out Statesville Comic Con, like in my little tiny town or little con, is like a week after I get back.
Yay! So all the nerd things happening all the time. Yeah, so I'm obviously excited about Nerdtacular. I picked up my luggage from the storage unit yesterday and started making the list of the things that need to go into the suitcase. I'm really sad, though, because my Diamond Club shirt that we ordered is not going to... My TKO shirt. There's a Jackpot Games called TKO. Aww. We made a shirt. It was super cute. And I ordered mine 5 days before two other guys, and they got theirs a week ago, and mine's not going to be delivered till the 30th. Womp
womp. Oh, my God. You know what? The Nerdtacular shirt? The Nerdtacular shirt that has three icons on it that reminds us of me, of our logo. I missed the cutoff because I didn't catch the date by like 10 minutes to be able to get it at the con.
Ooh. Wah, wah. Well, that's okay. But I'm going to have other nerd shirts. I'll obviously rock my Negan shirt. You know, I have all my other good shirts. So it's not like it's not like I'm lacking for nerd shirts to wear. I just really wanted to wear one of the almost one of a kind hand drawn Diamond Club shirts. Would have been great for the Night Attack recording, but it'll be fun regardless. Remember y'all, if you would like to support the show, you can do that at Patreon, patreon.com/grills. That's what keeps us on the air. It keeps our servers online. It keeps all the stuff happening so that we can continue to make the show. We want to thank all of our patrons. You guys are the best. Your feedback is always welcome. And I just want to say how much we love and appreciate you all. We have now officially had patrons that have been our patrons for more than a year now. So I want to thank Sean and Beth in particular. You have been you've been patrons for the longest. I guess that's how I would put that sentence
together. Long-standing supporters.
Yes, there you go. For more than a year, and I just wanted to shout that out because that's amazing. So for those of you that don't have any money to throw at us, Ember, what can they do?
Well, they can pop over to iTunes and please leave us a review. Even if you're getting the cast from another source, it's not a big deal to just pop over there and give us 5 stars, maybe say a few kind words. We really appreciate it and helps others find us.
I love it. All right. So, Ken, where can people find you on the interwebs?
Yeah, please go to my website, burlingsbeard.com, B-E-R-L-I-N-G-S, beard. Has links to all the projects that I'm working on, the products that I have for sale, and my contact info. Please definitely stop by and say hi. I would love, love, love to hear from you. I also am a very avid tweeter, and so you can find me at burlingsbeard on the tweet zords as well, and I'd love to interact.
And we will definitely make sure to have a link to his site on the show notes and also through our Twitter as well. So look for that if you didn't catch it, but it should be available. We'll make sure you can find him. Ember, how can people find you?
Yeah, I want the links to his module.
I know, I was just thinking that. I was like, you should run that.
Totally. I'd love for you guys to take a look at it and have feedback. That'd be awesome. It's on the DMs Guild. I can provide you a link. That's easy.
Thank you very much. I can be found on Twitter and Twitch at 9of12. That's N-I-N-E-O-F-1-2. And you can hear me on the Part-Time Gamers podcast.
I am the Jen. You can find me at the Jen Says on Twitter and streaming. I've been a little busy the last couple of weeks, so I apologize. The streams have been light, but they're coming back after I get back from Nerdtacular. Normal schedule back on twitch.tv/thegenplays. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG.
Good game. No. Well played.
Good game. GG.
If you enjoyed the show and have the quill skill to shriek speech, leave us a 5-star unique critique on iTunes or thrill us with the size of your handbill by spilling goodwill into our tills at patreon.com/grills. We can also be found windmilling around Facebook and YouTube at facebook.com/geekgrills and youtube.com/geekgrills, where we like to chill. Tweet your siren songs where the throngs belong on Twitter at geekgrills, where we're dressed to kill. For more info on the show, though, go to geekgrills.com, where you can find previous episodes, show notes, and current contest information. Send us your psalms and qualms to geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577, where we can hear your lovely voice sing the zing thing. Thanks for listening.